Let's take our Bibles together to the book of Galatians chapter 6, starting the last chapter of this book of the Bible together. I mentioned before that this was the text, 6 verse 1, 37 years ago or somewhere about that, maybe 38, I preached Galatians, my first message. Right there it is. Had a lot more writing on it than I do now in my messages. A lot of writing, and that took about 15 minutes. But I looked over that outline. The delivery was very pitiful. But I looked over that outline, and that it was truth. It's truth that's hard to live. And this evening, as we look together in Galatians 6 and verse 1, we're going to be talking about faults tonight. Faults. And not sins. Am I too loud? Besides to myself. Not sins, but faults. There is a difference. The word's spelled different. It has a different understanding and meaning, and I hope that God will help us understand it tonight, because maybe it'll help you in your life with some things that you might be dealing with, if not with yourself, with someone else. Christianity and the Word of God is so hands-on, it just deals with everything that we need in our daily experience as we walk with God. And he said in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But as we walk in the Spirit, there are many times faults in our lives that can overtake us, any of us, the best of us. So let's look at what the Bible says together. Galatians 6 verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, what is a fault? How many of you have heard of the San Andreas fault? Heard of that? Now, would you mistake that to be the San Andreas sin? No. You say, why do you bring that up? Because one of the big changes in your King James Bible that is really pushed by the Roman Catholic Church is this thing of confessing our sins to one another. Of course, really, they don't want us to confess our sins to one another. They want us to confess our sins to a priest. And that's unbiblical. Hold your finger right here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and go to James chapter 5. The San Andreas fault, what is it? Well, it's a place under the ground. And every now and then, if the shifting occurs, you're going to have an earthquake. How many of you have been around anybody in your life that had an earthquake? Yeah. How many? No, I'm not going to ask how many of you have had an earthquake. That's all right. We've got some people that are honest. Now, what is that fault, that San Andreas fault? I mean, you can have a big earthquake. The bigger the fault, the bigger the potential is for damage. And that fault is a crack. Now, I'm going to put this in somebody's scientist or brother, you know, Brother Chris, the teacher, can get up and explain all this to us and geography and all this stuff. I'm not going to do that. I say it's a crack. It's a crack in those tectonic plates. Boy, I don't know where that came from. Under the ground, and when they shift in that crack, all types of bedlam and shaking goes on above. You know what happens and what is true about every one of us tonight? We got some cracks under the surface. Every one of us. We've got some fault lines, some cracks under the surface, and if they shift just right, then there are things that start shaking and things that start falling in our lives. And so what do we do about those faults? Those areas that are cracked. We're not talking about sins, we're talking about faults. You know, you can have a crack in your character. You heard somebody talking about, you know, I'm about to crack up. Well, some people already, they got the cracks, you see. They've got the cracks in their character underneath, and we all have them. But, you know, the Bible says, cleanse me from secret faults. There are some faults we have, we don't even know they're there. I did not know that there were faults underneath the ground when we planted that church over on the coast of South Carolina in Mount Pleasant. We were living over there. I didn't know that there was a fault over there. I heard about the fault in San Andreas Fault and all that California earthquake, but who thought about having an earthquake in Charleston, South Carolina? I never thought of that until I was sitting in the house one day and there was a big boom and my floor cracked across the tile there. I thought a bomb went off. It's weird, you know. I always thought an earthquake or something having to do with a fault, when it moved, it would just, everything would shake. That's not the way this was. This was just like an explosion. Boom! It was so loud that I went outside to see what blew up. It was so loud it shook the whole house. But it was the noise, not the movement, that really caught my attention. And when I went outside, you know what? And this was in the daytime. I forget what day it was, but everybody was home from work. And it was either Saturday or after work or something. And all my neighbors, and people never came out of their house. Everybody was out of their house, and they were all looking around. Because we just thought something blew up. And then we heard that it was an earthquake. An earthquake. And the reason that that earthquake and the reason that explosion happened was because there's a fault line underneath the ground. And when it moved just right, and when one plate was overtaken by the other, then bang. You know, there's a lot of blow-ups that can happen in your life, in my life. A lot of booms. And it's all because there's something that's cracked down underneath the surface. Guys, that's why we need God's help. And the thing about it is, you know, you can look at somebody else's cracks and you look at somebody else's faults in their character, cracks in their character, and the truth is, you've got it in yourself. Our verse says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. You got them too, you see. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So let's go to James, this place where it's changed by the false Bible. He said in James chapter 5 and verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In Galatians 6, he's talking about restoring those overtaken in the fault. In James chapter 5, he's talking about praying for those that have faulted one another. And here's what happens. With the faults that we have in our character, what happens is, usually the fault in my character will explode on you. It'll affect you somewhere. Guys, have you not understood that? Whatever your problem is, it's not just your problem. It's going to affect somebody else. So this is what happens. If I've got a fault, it may cause me to hurt you. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about a fault. Look in Matthew's gospel. I think it comes out clear with the words of Jesus. I think it's so plain. He did not say confess your sins. He said confess your faults. Now you could take it this way, and we'll get in the message and show you. If you've got a crack in your character, it's all right to admit it. Because then when that crack is exposed, everybody knows you've got the problem. You've already told them you've got the problem. I have to use a personal illustration because I can't use an illustration. It'd be bad. I have purposefully overemphasized a fault in my character of not being a very sociable person. That's a crack in my character. Now, I work hard about that. I do. I go straight to the door. I greet everybody that leaves. I talk to people. I make myself do that. But you know what? I've already confessed that to you. So if I'm not sociable to you, you've already been put on notice. Right? Right? You know, because this is what we do with faults. And I'll read the dictionary definition. Here's what we do. When someone faults us, or when they have a fault in their character and it affects us, we take it as something that was purposeful, intentional. You know, that's not what a fault is. I'll read to you right out of the dictionary. 1828. A fault is an error or a defect. We're all defective. Well, that would go over well with this culture, wouldn't it? You can't tell people they're defective. Well, you can ignore it, but you are. You can lie to yourself, but you are. It's called sin. Our birth has defected all of us. We all have a bunch of birth defects. Isn't that right? We're not born speaking the truth. We're born speaking lies. We're not born loving and kind. We got birth defects. So a fault is an error or a defect, an imperfection. A slight offense. Listen, this is really important. It's a neglect of duty of propriety resulting from inattention or want of prudence rather than designed to injure or offend. Did you hear what I just said? Maybe you didn't. In other words, a fault is you didn't really intend to injure and offend someone. It is just a neglect in your character or inattention in your character that you didn't know was there, and you inadvertently hurt somebody because you got a crack in your character. Now, I don't know what your fault is. Now, some people's fault is the opposite of what I said mine is. You are hyper-sociable. Yeah, you're so outgoing that you're overbearing. Right? And the guy that's unsociable looks at the guy that's overbearing and they say, he's got a problem. A guy that's personality's on steroids is somebody that can't ever shut up. That's just a fault. That's the way they are. They don't mean to be overbearing. They don't mean to do that, but that's just the way they are. And I've got to see that problem, and I've got to pray for them. Because that fault in their character, if it explodes, then I need to know that wasn't an intentional thing. Guys, look, you know what? It's easier for us to forgive one another and get along with one another if we don't keep thinking that everybody's motivation is to hurt us. It may just be a fault in their character. In Matthew chapter 18, I think Jesus, in verse 15, now these faults can become sins, and we'll show you that in a second. He says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, Jesus says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now you see what he said? Confess your faults. Well, no, that's what he's saying right here. So a fault is something that's a crack in your character. And if it slips just the right way, then you're going to hurt somebody else, or you may even be overtaken in that fault and trespass against somebody else. And if that's the case, you need to go confess your fault one to another. And that's another problem. You know what? We draw too many other people into our faults. If you faulted somebody else, go get it right, but don't drag everybody else into it. But that's what we usually want to do, because we want enough people on my side to agree with me. And God said, just go to each other and confess your faults. Well, Well, why, what does that mean, confess? Well, if it caused you to sin against your brother, then you get that right with him. You know, some people are too quiet. They don't talk enough. They don't give it. They're unattentive. You know, unattentiveness is a fault. You'll find that in your marriage real quick, guys. And you know what? Your wife's going to think, that's intentional. Boy, I tell you what, I'm getting right on the ground right there, son. On both sides. You know what it is? That unattentiveness, that quietness, that lack of talk, it's not intentional. It's not meant to harm. It's just a fault in the character. And then some people are too loud by nature. You ever met these people that are jittery? They're always nervous. They can't help it. It's just that's the way they are. They've got a crack. They can't be calm. There's some people that are so calm, they don't ever get up and do anything. And there are other people so nervous that they drive everybody crazy. What do you got to do? You got to understand that people have a fault. And it's all right to go up and say, hey, I'm sorry. I confess to you that I've got this crack, this fault in my life. Maybe my fault is I'm too negative all the time. You ever met anybody like that? It's not a sin to be negative. There's plenty of things that are negative in the world. Matter of fact, every battery has a positive and negative terminal. Every message, every preaching should have a positive and negative effect. But you know what? Your character can be so that you are negative about every single thing. And I tell you what, there are plenty of things to be positive about. Some people can't even be excited and positive, amen, when souls are being saved like they were this morning, and people are getting right with God like they were this morning, amen, and visitors come. Some people can't get excited about nothing. You know why? They got this fault in their character that everything is negative. And if you're around somebody like that, they might discourage you. But then you got the people that are always too positive. And even if the whole world is going to hell and there's sin in the church and sin in the family, they're like, oh, everything's great. And that's not good either. I'm just saying there's all types of faults in our lives, imperfections, defects in us, that if we're not careful, it will overtake us. And it'd be better if we go to our brethren and say, I'm sorry, I'm prone to this. Pray for me. Why are our prayer requests always about our bodies? Why don't we ever go to the brethren and say, hey, pray for me, I have an insecurity problem. Some people have a fault in their life, they're always insecure. Now, it's not a sin to be insecure, but if that overtakes you, you know what will happen? You won't be able to trust God. You won't be able to trust other people in your life. You'll have no confidence in any of your relationships. That fault of insecurity. But then on the other side, there's a fault of overconfidence. We need confidence. And we need confidence in God. But there's some people that are confident when they are dead wrong. It's a part of their character. I mean, they're always confident. It's like that one preacher said, we may not be right, but we're never in doubt. Well, that's a crack, isn't it? That's something wrong with me. Now look, I'm telling you what causes the problems between people so many times. They don't see that this is not intentional. This is just the defect of the person that I'm living with, or the person that I'm worshiping with, or the person that I'm working with. And I need to understand that fault just like they've got to understand mine. The fault of being emotional. Thank God for emotions. I tell you what, I get emotional in church, and I have to watch myself because I think I'm going to freak some of y'all out. But I mean, really, I believe in people saying amen. I believe this thing is real. If it's not real in you, I want it to get real in you. Emotions are great. What would a marriage be like without emotions? What a robotic marriage. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Life is filled with emotions. But some people have a fault in their life of emotionalism, and if they're not careful, it overtakes their life, and they're given to deep sorrow. You know, people that love deeply can also get depressed deeply. What do we do that? We acknowledge. I'm going to show you what we do that in a minute. We acknowledge that's a crack under the surface, and I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to give attention to it. And if I have a problem with being unsociable, then I'm not going to let that overtake me and make me unfriendly. You know, we got some people in this church that are not the friendliest people in the world. There's that thing again. No, they're not. And somebody will go out of the church and they'll say, so-and-so, and we don't have this, I'm making this up, sort of. So somebody will go out of the church and say, so-and-so is just so unfriendly. No, they probably have a crack in their character. Are you listening to me? And just because you don't have that fault doesn't mean nobody else has that fault. And that fault may not be that they're so unfriendly. It may just be that they don't interact with people very well. And so they're sort of isolated in that regard. You can look at those faults, and I'm trying to mention some. I don't know if I'll hit yours. Some of you have lived through some past traumatic events in your life that have caused you to be this way. And I'm not even going to fill in the blank because I don't even know what it is. By the grace of God, I don't even know of any traumatic event. Maybe when I was born it was traumatic. I don't know. I mean, I have had some serious things happen in my life, but I don't count any of those as traumatic events. But I'll say this, if you've had a traumatic event in your life, in your past, and maybe it was not your fault, it could have cracked the plates underneath. Are you listening to me? And that's not a sin. That's just a defect in all of us. And that's yours. But you know what we can't do? We can't give inattention to that. You know what they do with places that are built over faults? They strengthen them. Because they say, man, if this fault moves, if this shifts any at all, this building better be strong enough to handle it. You listen to me? You can't just put up a little shack over a fault line. It's going to fall. You know what we need to do, church? If you've got something in your past like that that's cracked you underneath, you know what you do? You need to strengthen your Christian life. You need to strengthen your prayer life. You need to strengthen your church life. You need to strengthen your relationship with God. You need to strengthen your walk with God and let God make you strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So when that crack moves, it is still there, but it won't overtake you. Some people have a fault of low intolerance, of low tolerance to pain. Some of us are weak that way. We can't take pain very well. My brother and I are like that. We would make wonderful drug addicts. Really? I'm serious. Right now, I've got to go tomorrow. I'll try to use personal illustrations because I'm trying to get you to think about your own life. Look, if Christianity doesn't work day to day, it's not real. I got a tooth right here that's, when I was 15 years old, I got filled. Man, it's this huge filling in one of my molars. You know, this is a perfect illustration. I went to the dentist. I said, you know, it's not really hurting, but there's just something not right. When I cough, it's like, wow, what's that? He put something on my teeth. He said, bite down right there. And when I did, oh, yeah, there's something right there. He said, you know what you got? You got a crack under the surface. You got a crack underneath that filling. That filling has been there so long, and that old metal, you know, that metal they put in our teeth, it's not going to move, but your tooth will move. And it cracked that tooth. And I said, well, I'll put it off a little bit longer. Not a good idea. I'm calling first thing in the morning. I've been putting everything. I tell you what, I've been popping pills. I just don't like pain. I cannot. Look, man, I sat in that chair in Greece without anesthesia when that woman was filling my tooth. And when she hit that nerve, I jumped out of that chair. She freaked out, thought she had some crazy person in her chair. I couldn't help it. I didn't want to jump out of her chair. I just can't take the pain. You know, there's some of you, and you know, I'm sure you ladies can take pain unlike us guys. Or we, you know, they never, you've heard the story. No babies would be born if guys had to have them. It just hurts too much. Yeah. But I can't take pain. You know, that's a weakness. I just can't take pain very well. But you know what that fault can lead to? You understand what I'm saying? If I got a fault that I can't take pain very well, it could lead to me depending on something to make sure I never have any pain. So the fault, though it's not a sin, if it overtakes me, it can become a sin. Look at James chapter 1. I'll show it to you. Just like James chapter 5 mentions faults, I think James chapter 1 explains it. There are some things that you have a propensity to that are not sin in themselves, but if you let it take charge of you, it'll overtake your life and become a sin in your life. He said in James chapter 1 and verse number 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Stop. Is lust sin according to this verse? No. A lust is any kind of desire. I'll give you another one of my faults since I'm confessing them tonight. I love to eat. It's a fault. I love it too much. That's why I have to make myself fast. I've got to know that crack is there. Right. I have to tell my wife not to buy any potato chips. Right. I have to tell Cindy, look, only one dessert a week in the house. Yeah. You know why I do that? Because I know there's something down under the surface that can get out of control. Now, is the lust or the desire to eat sinful? No. You know, is the lust or desire to rest sinful? No. You ought to want, man. If you got a good mattress, amen, you're looking forward to laying down at night and going to bed. That's all right. But that can get out of control, can it not? That desire that you have to enjoy pleasure. You know it's not wrong to enjoy pleasure. It's wrong to enjoy the pleasures of sin. But the Bible tells us, 1 Timothy chapter 6, that God has given us richly all things to enjoy. God wants you to enjoy your life. But you know what? If you're not careful, that desire to enjoy pleasures can overtake you. And it can become sin, especially if there's a crack. So that lust can be the fault. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When that lust, that desire overtakes you, then it becomes sin in your life. You know the desire or the lust, if I can say it that way, to protect yourself and others is not wrong. But do you know that can be a fault in your life? I've met some people that are so consumed with protecting themselves and someone else that they cannot trust God. Even protecting our kids. Can I tell you something? Look, some people, that self-protection mode to protect our kids, that's right, that's decent, that's good. But if it can be a fault in your life that you go overboard with that and you let it overtake you, and some of you won't even let your kids fall down and, amen, scrape their knee. You know your kids need to learn how to hurt. If you protect your children from every hurt in life, when they really hit the big life, the real life, when they get older, they're going to get wiped out. Because you've not... Are we preparing our kids for life, or are we preparing them for the nursery? But that protection, you ought to protect your kids. But it can become a fault in your life. It can consume you. And it can actually harm them. Don't try to protect them from every hurt. What are they going to do when they get 30 years old? Life is full of hurt. Can anybody testify to that? We got to learn to live with it. But if I protect my children from every situation, though that desire is good, it can be a fault in my life, a crack that's going to harm them later, and they will never know how to deal with anything. I've watched it. And people don't even know it's there. And their kids grow up and they wonder why they can't handle anything. Desire to be with people and be loved. You know, it's a great desire for want people to love you. It's a great desire for somebody not to want to be alone, want to be with others, and want to feel like they are nurtured and that's a normal desire. Desire to be loved. You know, that can lead to gross sin in people's lives because they want to be loved so much that they won't keep it in the bounds of the will of God. It's just a fault. It's so important to them more than anything else. I'll say this, you can flip it around. The desire to love others. This, you said, preacher, it could never be a fault to want to love and help other people. You're wrong. You know, some people, that part of their character that is just overwhelmingly wants to love and help others, even to the point to ignore what God says about others. Are you listening to me? I want to help my fellow man so much that I'm always going to accept them, and I'm never going to have any kind of a judgmental attitude. And this crowd that doesn't believe that God judges people, these people are insane. They've not read two pages of the Bible. But somebody said, you see, our love for others can be a fault in my character to the point that I love people more than I love God. That I want to help people more than I want to do right. It can be a crack. Just like that desire. I want people to accept me. Well, that's not a bad thing. That's not a sin. Nobody walks around and says, when I grow up, I want to be rejected. No, nobody wants to be that way. But you know what happens? That desire to be accepted can become a fault in your life. And so you will conform yourself to every wish of every individual that you want acceptance from, even if it's totally devilish. It can overtake you. Back to our text, he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Well, what's the answer, preacher? We're all a bunch of broken people. We all have defects. You just said everybody in here has got birth defects. That's true. And you know what? The next time somebody wrongs you, maybe you'll think about your birth defect before you just get so infatuated with theirs. No. They meant to do that. Come on. You're missing the whole message. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, what's that word? Guys, there's something about spirituality that will take care of faults. If we'll walk in that spirit, you know what will happen? That fault may still be there, but we will not be overtaken by it. You know why? Because we're overtaken by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is leading our life and controlling our life. Though we may have a fault in our heart, maybe we are too insecure, or maybe we're too emotional, or maybe we're unattentive, or maybe we've got some other problem in our life I didn't even name. You know what will take care of that? That fruit of the Spirit, if that fruit of the Spirit will get in your life and overcome your life and overtake your life, those faults will be kept in check. But every time I try to point to someone to the Spirit of God and to the fruit of the Spirit about their faults, they think that's not the answer. And I'm telling you, it is the answer. Amen. We're all defective. But there's something about that fruit of the Spirit that keeps those plates from moving. You know, right now, out there in Los Angeles and out there in California, that huge San Andreas fault, at any moment, guys, at any moment, that could move. Right now, it could be a massive earthquake and the whole city just be half destroyed. I mean, it's that big. But today, didn't happen. Yesterday, it didn't happen. Something is keeping it from moving. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's God. Maybe it's not time yet. I tell you what, I do believe this. You read in Revelation about all those earthquakes happening. One of these days, God's just going to say, all right, I'm going to release all those faults and you faults underneath the ground. Just go to town. And they're going to be moving and shifting. There'll be earthquakes all over the world that finally expose the crack that's under the surface. Maybe it's God just holding that together. I'm trying to tell you, if you've got a fault in your life, that's not a sin. But if you'll let the Spirit of God control your life, He can keep it from moving. And that's the hard thing. Sometimes we demand God to take it away, and He doesn't take it away. He says, walk day by day with me, be filled with the Spirit, and let me keep it from moving. You know what we're going to find out in the next chapter, the next in 2 Corinthians? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. You know what he said to God? He said, God, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. God says, I'm not going to take it away. You've got to learn to trust me. You've got to learn what my power is about. Oh, church. Maybe the people that in your life that have faults, God's placed in your life to teach you something about trusting God and the power of God. Or maybe the faults in your own heart, God's not removed them to teach you something about trusting the Lord and seeing His power at work in your life about something you cannot control. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Spiritual people are always meek people. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And it took more than one. You know what? I tell you what, guys. You need spiritual people in your life. You know why? Because you got defects. And that's what's so destructive about society that keeps going down the pit. The reason is that way, because they're never around anybody that's spiritual. Look, if you got a crack in your character, get with somebody else that don't have that same crack. And let them encourage you and let them help you. Amen. Let them be a blessing and a strength in your life. Don't spend your time all the time with people that are just defective as you are. Find somebody spiritual and pray with them and fellowship with them. You mean those weirdo people? The people that walk with God. And if you don't have spiritual people in your life, you need to become one. We all need to be more spiritual, don't we? You know why? It's about helping one another, but I tell you what, it'll help you. It'll help your, it'll help the cracks in your character. It'll help those faults in your life. It'll help those things underground. If we'll just be spiritual people, but when we get out of bounds and we're carnal and we're not walking with the Lord, then those works of the flesh pop out because they are just evidence of the crack that's in our character, the fault that lies down in our heart that hasn't been healed and taken care of. You know what spiritual people do? Look at verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens. Spiritual people help bear other people's burdens. Do you like burdens? Only a spiritual person can bear somebody else's burden. Matter of fact, in verse number 5, he says, every man should bear his own burden. You got some burdens that's hard for you to bear, and if you're not spiritual, you're not going to be able to bear them. Maybe your faults are a burden. Or maybe your faults are a burden to somebody else. Can y'all shake your head at me? Maybe your faults are a burden to somebody else. And if you have, listen, you know what you ought to do? You ought to look at that person and say, hey, God, help me to be spiritual. Listen now. Help me to be spiritual so this brother or sister in Christ, this person that's in my life that has this fault in their life, make me spiritual enough that I can bear their burden. I can bear it. You ever heard somebody say, just grin and bear it? That's the way you got to do with other people's faults that affect your life. I'm preaching about Christianity on the pavement here tonight. Bearing each other's burdens. I heard people say, I just not going to take it anymore. You know why? Because you're not spiritual. God, help me to be spiritual so I can bear somebody else's burden of their fault. You know what? You need spiritual people in your life that will bear the burden of your fault when they start moving, because they'll move. You know what else a spiritual person does? Look at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The spiritual man doesn't think, the spiritual lady, the spiritual person doesn't think that he can solve everybody's problems or she can solve it. No. They don't think they can do anything. The spiritual individual doesn't think themselves to be something. Oh, I don't have that fault. Well, you got one, and if you think you don't, you're not very spiritual. Matter of fact, verse 3 is probably a fault in your life. If you think yourself to be something, now look, he didn't say if you think yourself to be a big shot. He didn't say that. This is a great verse. He said if you think yourself to be something, when he is, what's the word? How many of you woke up this morning and said, well, I'm nothing. I'm just nothing. I'm nothing. I'm a zero with a line rubbed out. Look, it's not a sin to think you're something. Well, Lord, I'm something. I mean, I'm alive. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I have a Bible. I've been saved. I'm something. The Lord says, no, you're nothing. Isn't that right? Isn't that what Brother Earl taught us, Brother Gibson? Brother Gibson met Brother Earl Hughes in heaven. Brother Earl, what a precious saint of God. Now, there's a spiritual man. There was a spiritual man right there. Brother Earl looked at Brother Gibbs and said, who are you, young man? Mike said, I'm nothing. Brother Earl said, that's all you'll ever be. How many of us really think that? You know what? If we thought that, we probably wouldn't get offended when someone's fault came out and affected our life. So it takes spiritual people. He said, ye which are spiritual. And I like that next word in Galatians 6:1. He says, restore. Guys, I don't know what your fault is. I don't know the cracks in your character are. I don't know what your defects are. Maybe I don't even know what all mine are. But I'm going to tell you what, tonight, that God Almighty can restore every fault. He can bring it back together. He can heal it. He can make it right. Even if it overtakes you, even if it gets out of bounds, God says there is restoration to be had. And that word restore, it's almost like restoring a broken limb that's out of joint or harmed in the body. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:5 that we are members one of another. Is that right? We're one body in Christ. And when one part of the body gets dislocated or out of joint or has got a crack, I tell you what, the rest of my body's fine, but that one little crack is driving me nuts right now. I mean, I'm rubbing Orajel, all it says on the gums. Man, I put it on the gum, on the tooth, I put it everywhere. Just put it all in my mouth there. Because my hands are fine, my feet are fine, I feel fine. As far as I know, my brain's okay. But that little crack in that little place in my body is just ruining the whole fun. You know what happens when one of us have a fault? We need restoration because the body's not going to function good until that gets restored. You know what's good about Jesus? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And He'll make me lie down. You know what else He'll do? He'll lead me beside still water. You know what else He'll do? He'll restore my soul. Down in your soul, that's where the cracks are. And the Lord says, I can put that back together if you let me. Oh, there are people that are cracked. And the good shepherd says, come here, let me put that back together for you. Let me hold on to your character and not let it get out of bounds. Let me keep that boom from happening. Put it in my hands and let me restore your soul. You know, there was one man, and I'm finished, that the authorities, the government stepped back and they said, we've looked at all types of men and we've seen faults and sins and weaknesses in everyone, but there was one person they stepped back and said, I find no fault in him at all. It's not that there was no sin in Jesus. There wasn't even a fault there. There was nothing out of place. There was nothing cracked in His character. There was nothing underneath the surface that wasn't just like it. He had no fault in Him at all. And He's the only one that can help us with ours. Revelation 14 says one day we're going to gather around the throne of God. We're redeemed and the wife, the bride will make herself ready. You know what it says? That they have no fault before the throne of God. No fault. There's coming a day, guys, all those cracks are going to be gone. And Jesus will come. He'll take all of these things that are under the surface that bother me. He'll make them all go away. And I'll be with Him forever and ever. But until then, He says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the great shepherd. I'm the chief shepherd. Come and bring your defects and stick them in my hands because I have no fault at all and I can help you.